Hey, all you book nerds! Today, we're speaking with Miles Yaksik, the writer and director of the short film Poppies. This film tells the story of a chance encounter between two people from different cultures and a dive into past lives, love, and the unexpected lessons we can learn arising from a chance meeting. Without further ado, let's start today's podcast interview. What's going on, book nerds? Today is a great day. Hope you're all enjoying the wonderful day you're having. And we have an exciting guest on our podcast today. We are speaking with Miles Yaksik. He is the writer and the director of the film Poppies. How are you doing this morning?
Great. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Tell us a little about yourself and your film Poppies.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the writer-director of Poppies. This is my first film. So I'm pretty new to the game in the entertainment industry. I used to work in finance, and I was working in Singapore mostly, Singapore and Vietnam, for like 10 years. And, you know, eventually had enough of numbers and moved to Los Angeles to work on my first film, which is Poppies. And it's a story that focuses on, like, unconventional relationships. That's what I'm most interested in. It's a cross-cultural film. And bilingual film. It's half Chinese, half English. It's about two strangers who meet on a plane and are brought together by a bouquet of poppies. One's from the States and one's from China. And, you know, how their life stories impact each other in this, you know, few-hour flight through the sky. And that's the gist.
Nice. It sounds really interesting. I don't think I've heard of a film that's kind of like this before.
So yeah, I mean, I tried to take some traditional kind of Western story structures and, you know, a lot about generational storytelling. And then, of course, mix it with my cultural experience living overseas and kind of the impact that Chinese culture had on me and, you know, my perspective on life.
Well, I've got two questions, but I'm going to word them into one because they kind of go with each other a little bit. First question is, you said you worked over in Singapore for a long time. What made you want to make a movie as opposed to writing a book or a play or some other form of medium? And the second question is there any particular reason you chose a plane versus, like, a car ride or a train ride or something like that?
Okay, cool. Yeah, those are great questions. Working in Singapore, well, I guess the reason why I chose a movie is that was the most natural thing for me. I've always been interested in movies and interested in film. When I was a kid, I made a lot of short films running around my backyard with the camera and, you know, making my relatives be different characters. So it's something that's always been kind of in my mind. And I'm very visual. I used to paint a lot of oil painting and lots of charcoal and sketching. So I think I'm most attracted to film as a way to, like, visually express ideas and take the audience on a story. You know, like a book, we create the visuals in our mind, and I probably have a harder time articulating myself with the written word versus putting those pictures together on film. And then to tackle your second question, for me, I flew a lot living over in Singapore, so back and forth between North America and Asia and regionally, and I always found when I fly, it's really a time I can decompress, and I'm very introspective. That was one thing, which our lead character, he's going through some emotional problems, which he's got floating around in his mind while he's flying. And the second thing is, it's a situation where you can't get away from the person you're sitting beside. This story to me was a big, it revolved around the chance encounter between two strangers who made an impact on each other. And in other situations, you could very easily just get up and leave. You know, if you sit down at a coffee shop and the person across from you is talking to you or provoking you with questions you're not happy with, you can just kind of leave. But on a plane, you're there, you don't have another seat, you've got nowhere else to go, and it kind of brought our two characters together in a way that they had to deal with each other and the consequences of their conversation.
That sounds like a, You had great answers for my questions. So, nice. Well, what was the inspiration for this particular story? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so this story, well, superficially, it came from, my time as a foreigner living and working in Asia, and just how the big part of that is, I think, people from all over the world, we care about the same thing, but we care about them in different ways. And for me, that's a big, that's a big driver of cross-cultural conflict. It's not that we have different interests, it's just the way that we care about that topic is different, and that's what causes conflict. So that was one idea I wanted to play with. More specifically for our character, I think what he's going through are some, I don't want to give too much away, but it's more like some of the things I really feared happening when I lived so far away from home. And I think that happened. I mean, most people can relate to that idea when you move away from home. If you're far enough away, if something happens at home, how can I get home fast enough? And that also relates to lots of personal struggles of like, am I chasing my own ambition versus family? Prioritization, I guess, would be the right word. What am I prioritizing in my life, and is that the right thing to be prioritizing? And then the characters are loosely based off of people I've met or myself and people that really influenced me in Singapore. And I just kind of merged them all together into a couple different archetypes, I guess.
So when audience members are watching this film, I'm assuming then, based on what you just said, that it's going to be very relatable to pretty much anyone who watches it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that kind of arose as I was developing the script. I didn't try to write something that was so niche or culturally specific. I mean, it is because my experience was. So it is. It's like a bilingual film. There's subtitles. It's something you have to follow along and you have to pay attention. But the value, like the, I guess, the themes are universal enough that I think anyone who has moved away from home and anyone who has met strangers and anyone who's had a mentor that's not a family member can probably relate to the story. And just having this bilingual, multicultural aspect is kind of more like a journey that I'm allowing, or hopefully the audience is going to go on with us and explore a different culture for 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, like, not only is it more relatable, like what you were just saying, but also it'll give audience members who have never been to that, part of the world, such as myself, and will really get a little bit more of a look into the cultural side of, of that culture and see what, as you said earlier, what they value and how they value it.
And that would be fantastic if that's what happens when someone watches it. The biggest thing I want people to take away is just to have a conversation. We've been to a couple film festivals already, and it's been fantastic to get emails of audience members who have kind of searched our film out online and sent emails saying, like, this film really reminded me of, my grandmother, or this film really reminded me of my mom. I got to call her tomorrow. And that for me is the takeaway. That shows that there's a universal theme there that's not just something niche about having, a bilingual film, which is, for me, that's really a great takeaway that the audience has been getting and letting me know about.
Yeah, and as a filmmaker, I'm sure that, that's exactly what you're looking for. It's exactly what we want. We want the audience to receive a message and really take something away from it, not just emotionally, but like make them think about it. Like you just said, people are like, "Oh, I should call my grandmother to remind me of this person or this person." Like, it makes you th it really makes you think, which is always great.
Yeah, and that's a huge reward for me above and beyond what I expected. I always think when you're making a movie, there's kind of three hurdles, and the first is to get it done, the second is for it to make sense, and the third is for people to feel something. So I was just kind of aiming for it makes sense. I'm really happy that people are watching it and also feeling something, which is great.
Well, it seems to be resonating with audience members because, as you said about film festivals, I'm reading right here, it's won awards at the Asian Tourism Film and TV Week, IMDb's Independent Shorts Awards, the Golden State Film Festival, and the Asians on Film Festival. and it's an official selection of two Oscar qualifying festivals and is making waves in Canada. I mean, it seems like unstoppable right now. I mean, how does that make you feel? Like, did you think that you'd get this type of reaction?
No, not at all. Well, I mean, I was hopeful, of course. It was a big project. It was about a year in pre-production, and we all worked. It was a tremendous team effort to get this film, you know, not only off the ground, but through production and through post. And now it's been incredibly well received at the festivals, which has been, you know, fulfilling and beyond my expectations. And we've been winning, you know, several awards in different categories in different countries, which for me is really great because it means that the film is well-rounded enough that it's being recognized for not only our actors, you know, both Matthew Knowles and Cinder Ache received the Best Actor awards at two different festivals, but also for, like, production design, the story development, just all around. We've gotten, like, audience awards or jury awards. It's really satisfying to see that it's being well-received, you know, in a variety of ways.
Well, congratulations on all its success, and I, you know, obviously I wanted to continue to kick ass at all these film festivals and to continue doing great.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's the goal, right? That's one of the goals.
You mentioned the actors in the film. I wanted to ask you, what was the process like to find the right actors to portray these characters?
Yeah, and, you know, it's so interesting. It's this film came together really organically, so I didn't really hold auditions for, you know, any of the lead actors. Matthew Knowles and I met through mutual friends, and he was kind of one of the first to attach to the project. He's acted a lot in China and was studying in London at the time doing his master's in acting, and he jumped on. He was really into the story, and we had a lot of similarities in our experience. He lived in China, I lived in Singapore, and even though he was more in the entertainment industry and I was in finance, we shared a lot of kind of the common themes that this film explores. And then Sinra was introduced through, you know, a friend, and I had a coffee with her, and I was just like, oh, this, you know, this actress is going to be fantastic. She is Auntie Ling for me. So we did a camera test with her just to make sure we had to age her up with makeup. So I just wanted to make sure that performance wise it was in line, but she was great. And then Kara Wang was introduced through mutual friends, and Jonathan Stanton, he and I had a bunch of mutual friends. So it was just kind of like piecing the puzzle together. And when I, you know, met with everyone and we did table reads, and everyone just got along so well, and everyone was so into the story and really wanted to elevate, you know, like, I wrote this, but then, of course, everyone brought something else to the table, which took it to another level, and I, you know, that was something I wasn't expecting, or something that I, definitely didn't expect, and it was just a phenomenal experience.
So I'm glad everything came together so well for you. So it seems to have paid off well. Now, we talked about the actors, and you said it was in pre-production for about a year or so. Can you tell us a little bit about the production side and, like, how did that all go? Where does most of the film take place? You said in an airplane. I mean, did you actually get to film in an airplane? And how long did the whole production roughly take?
Yeah, so we were in pre-production for almost a year. I would say, like, 8 months, 8 to 10 months. And then we shot in February of 2018, towards the end of February of 2018. We shot over 6 days. And basically we had like a super week of production because the talent was coming from different places. So we had 2 days before our first day of principal photography for like rehearsals and costume fittings and, you know, just introducing everyone, and really just, it was a lot of rehearsing to get done within those 2 days. And then we had 3 days on an airplane. We shot on an airplane set in North Hollywood at Air El Mockups, and they were fantastic. It was a crazy experience for me. I mean, our first day, we were in a studio. We had this big double-bodied airplane body with, like, I got to work with the production designer to really, like, create the feel of it. We created an airline called Destined Airways, because Destiny, you know, brought our characters together and really built out this airplane and the feeling that I like I wanted it to have. It was warm and rich and really, really what I wanted. It was what I visualized from the beginning. So that was fantastic, and it was a Arrow Mockups was super helpful in putting that all together. And then, so 3 days there, 2 days on location at a house in Koreatown in California, in Los Angeles. And that, our story, it goes through the airplane, but then we go into the stories that Auntie Ling is telling of her life in 1940s China, but we are experiencing them through the foreigner's perspective. So it's not going to be like authentic 1940s China. It's going to be what our main character, Charles, when he's hearing her stories, what he's imagining. So it romanticizes, it's elaborate, hopefully elaborate. I think it's very beautiful. But it's kind of this feeling that, you know, when I listen to my colleagues, when I was living in Singapore, my colleagues are telling me stories, and it's kind of where my mind goes, how I imagine it to be. So that was in Koreatown, and then we shot one day by the beach in Malibu, which was crazy because it was cold and it was windy and it was really hectic, but it turned out beautifully.
Well, I've been up in Malibu myself a handful of times, and even in the summer, it can get pretty cold. So
yeah, it was overcast and it was freezing, and we were trying to get sunset, but because it was overcast, it looks beautiful. It looks phenomenal. It's actually very much what I wanted it to look like, but just I didn't expect it to be that painful. And we were the crew all bundled up. I can't imagine. The actors must have been, you know, Matthew and Kara must have just been freezing.
Now, did you have to, like, rent part of the beach? I mean, how did you deal with the people who were at the beach?
Well, so we went to a really secluded spot. I think it was Leo Carrillo's beach, if I'm not mistaken. And the project's producer, Cindy Liu, she was fantastic in organizing all of our permits and getting all of the correct permissions to go to these, you know, specific places where we were allowed to shoot. No one else was there, I don't think. I think we were the only ones on the beach, our crew. I mean, it was so cold, no one would have gone to the beach for fun that day.
Well, it sounds like it all worked out pretty well then for that shooting.
Yeah, yeah. No, overall, shooting was great. I mean, there were lots of things that I learned in terms of, I would say, especially in terms of time management and thinking quick on your feet. We got pretty much all of the shots we wanted for most of the scenes, except for one scene. We had to make a lot of changes on the spot, just due to, like, time management issues. But overall, it was, like, a pretty good shoot. I'd say, of course, we got tired towards the end. But, yeah, it was great. It was really good. Everyone was so committed to the project, and the whole team really, you know, worked hard and got us through. So that was awesome.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out well for you, because I've been on video shoots before, and sometimes just everything can fall apart, and that's just always the last thing you want. So it sounds like you got a really great crew, a great cast, and great locations, and a lot of great timing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, this project, for sure, I think the stars aligned for us, and you know, I just think at the end of the day, it just came down to everyone really understood my vision, and I really am happy that everyone worked so hard to get that, you know? Everyone was really on the same page for 95% of the time, so
nice.
Amazing.
Nice.
Amazing.
So, you mentioned, this is a question that I have for myself. I hope our listeners are asking themselves the same question, or they at least enjoy the question I'm about to ask. You said that you named the airplane after kind of like the Destiny theme of, you know, these characters meeting. Are there any other, like, little subtle Easter egg type nods to the overall, like, arc of the story in the film that we should look out for?
I think, well, I'm hopeful that there's, I try to layer the film with a lot of symbolism, because symbolism is, well, it's an important part of Western culture as well, but that was something that I noticed living in Asia, and especially with Chinese culture, there's a lot of symbolism, you know, in their philosophy, I would say. So I tried to put that in a lot, and I think there's a lot of cultural aspects that, for example, when, like, the Western audience watches a movie, they'll understand maybe 80% of the 80% of, like, the themes or something, or the situation. And when a Chinese audience watches it, they'll understand 80% of it. So there's that crossover, but there's that 20% that's probably pretty specific to, like, Chinese culture that maybe when the Western audience watches it, they won't really understand why that means anything. But if they have a conversation about it after, they can learn more. And the same goes the other way. There's probably some things that appeal to me, like, from how I think about family. This film has a lot to do with family and love and different types of love. And, you know, it may not be something that appeals to, you know, my friends in Singapore when they're watching it, but, you know, if they ask the right questions, they can learn a bit more about a different culture as well.
I think that's probably one of the best answers we could have gotten.
Well, and I tried to do that. I don't know if it worked.
For how well the film is doing, I think that it's safe to say that you did succeed.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and it's been interesting. You know, there's been some festivals. Well received in some arenas that I wasn't expecting, and there's been other arenas where I thought that it would be really well received, and it just didn't click. And that's one of the more interesting things I've learned as well since transitioning into this industry is it's all about the conversation people have afterwards, right? And film is very subjective. Art is very subjective. So just because you think it will resonate in one place and it doesn't, like, it may not, and somewhere where you think it won't resonate at all, it might actually pick up and people will be very interested in it. So that was something I kind of learned as we go through the festival process.
Very, very true. You never know where something's going to resonate with people, and like you just said, art is very subjective. There are plenty of movies that I've watched and I think are terrible, and other people see them and they think that they're one of the greatest films ever made. So it's all based on perspective.
Right, yeah. And that's an exciting idea, I guess, to explore, because everyone is viewing the film through their own lens, based off of their own experiences. So, yeah, I just find that, I really enjoy that, talking to people afterwards and hearing what they think.
So, do you have any plans to make either a sequel or another film of any kind?
Yeah, so that's what, Poppies is a short film, and we're right now in the early stages of development for the feature version. So, can't say too much, but it's basically what the feature version will be, like, what happens for these two characters after they get off the plane ride. How do they stay within each other's lives, and you know, where does life take them afterwards?
Well, I'm excited to see what comes of that. You always watch a movie or a story and about two characters interacting, and then once it's done, there's always like, well, what happens afterwards? You know, how does their life change after an experience like this? To have the fact that you're making a film that kind of follows up, I think, will bring some closure to a lot of audience members who watch this, who think like, oh, you know, how did they end up affecting each other? What comes next for them?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the ideas that I really, it's so interesting to me when you can have this chance encounter with someone that can really impact the way you live your life. And just even if it is something as short as, you know, 1 or 2 hours, you know, on a plane ride, talking to the person beside you, or something, you know, longer term. But there's those things where it's like, if that didn't happen, you know, if I didn't meet this person, I never would have done that. I never would have, which means I never would have done this, and kind of your domino effect from that. And I find that such a fascinating idea to explore. How can this one little incident kind of ripple out and affect their lives in the greater, you know, for the longer term or something, in the greater capacity?
We wish you all the best of luck with all the film festivals that you're still, you know, the film's being shown in, and can't wait to see what comes next with your feature.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's coming sooner rather than later. That's the goal.
Fingers crossed for you.
Absolutely, and your toes.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning. It's been a pleasure to talk with you and learn more about the film, your experiences, and how this whole thing came to be.
Thank you, Eric. I really enjoyed it. And, if any of the audience wants to follow us, they can check out our website, which is poppies.com. poppiesfilm.com, or check out our Instagram at poppiesfilm, which, you know, we've got a lot of behind the scenes information and upcoming information about our festivals and screenings. So if anyone wants to see it, they might be showing, you know, in their town or nearby.
Perfect. That was actually going to be the next question I was going to ask you, was where can people reach you and learn more about the film? So
yeah, I jumped the gun. I'm sorry. So poppies-film.com, and we've got like a subscriber list, which we send out every single time we've got an upcoming screening. And then at poppiesfilm is Instagram and Facebook.
You heard him, guys. Go check it out, because the trailer looks amazing. The film is amazing. You guys have to check it out. It's definitely something you don't want to miss. So, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast interview with Miles. His film sounds amazing, and I hope you guys all go check it out. And until next time, we're signing off from today's episode. But before we do, it sounds like Miles has something he wants to say.
Hi, this is Miles Yaksich. I'm the writer-director of Poppies, which is a short film. And you're listening to GeneBookNerd.com.